brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of peace. Peace be with you all. Why are we here today? No more than 3 minutes. We are here as Canadians to express our care for those who are being killed, maimed, and scarred for life, those who are in uniform, and we say that caring for them means bringing them home. We are here because we care about them, about their families, friends, and loved ones who are enduring and maybe enduring unnecessary suffering. We are here as Canadians because we care about the loss of our reputation as peacemakers, peacekeeping in a turbulent world. We are here as Canadians because we care about our national independence from being eroded under the pressure of those with their own agenda, hegemony, economics, control, or otherwise. As Canadians, we are here because we care about the erosion of our civil liberties in the name of security. But we are not here only because we are Canadians. We are here because I believe we are decent human beings. And as decent human beings, we do care about the killing, maiming, torture, displacement, and continued suffering of our fellow human beings anywhere in the world, whoever is behind it. We are here as decent human beings.
Sure, okay.
Because we care.
Are you going to be around?
About the growing militarism, hegemony, aggression, violence, and counter-violence by any individual, group,
totally speak,
or state,
okay,
that is causing death, destruction, displacement, distress, and destabilization in our world.
You don't like what I'm saying? This is signaling.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of near to my heart.
We are here.
Are you from here?
As decent human beings,
but,
who cares
family
about the lack of funding.
What's your name?
For crucial social, educational, health-related, and ecological programs simply because trillions and trillions of dollars are wasted on war, destruction, and more suffering.
Thank you.
If we don't care, who else will care? We care. Sure we care. And we shall continue to care. Let us raise our voices so that our government may also care. Thank you very much.
Next up, we have a veteran of the Halifax Peace Coalition, Heidi Grahul, who I believe is going to talk about the situation of women in Afghanistan. So,
yeah.
Round of applause for Heidi.
Hi. Just bear with me because this stuff makes me really, really nervous. So, I'm talking about the situation of women in Afghanistan. And it's important to know that the Canadian military is involved in a combat role in Afghanistan and that it's not doing its job in protecting the women of Afghanistan. It's not providing effective security for the women of Afghanistan. It's not providing safety for girls going back and forth to school, for those who are able to go to school, but education still remains largely inaccessible for the young girls of Afghanistan and for young boys. There's also the situation dealing with child labor. That's a very important, it's a significant impact on education because you're expected to, you can't go to school if you're the main breadwinner for your family, and most of the children under the age of 15 are responsible. They have to partake in child labor in order to be able to raise funds for their family in order to feed themselves. There's also the issue with forced child marriage. Lots of girls under the age of 16 are being forced to be wed off for a dowry so that they can, so that this can also provide some sort of funds for their families. And one of the most horrific, and this is hard to say because I get really emotional when I'm thinking about this, but Dr. Seema Simar, who's with the Afghan Independent Human Rights Commission, she's documented an increase in the number of women who have lived the 30 years of the cycle of violence that has been Afghanistan, who are now setting themselves on fire.
Exactly.
They are burning themselves because they are hopeless, because they are destitute, because they are responsible for their children, because and there's no options for their children. They have been abused by their husbands and by other members of society. Their rights have been ignored, and in their hopelessness, they are literally setting themselves on fire. And for those that actually succeed, this is a small reprieve. Because the healthcare system in Afghanistan at the moment is so poor that they've tried to set up burn clinics for these women who've injured themselves just. And it absolutely is just terrible. So, and as well, there's also the issue with 65% of women in Afghanistan do not seek professional or skilled personnel in childbirth. And this is scary if you're considering that so many women or young girls are being forced to marry and have children at such a young age. So Afghanistan at the moment has, I believe it's the highest infant mortality and maternal mortality rate in the world. And this hasn't improved because our Canadian military is there or our aid dollars are there. We've done nothing. We've been absolutely ineffective, and it's shameful. So I guess I just want to conclude that our military should not be there. Our military is not effectively helping, specifically the women. And I call for the troops to come home now.
Thanks, Heidi. Before we go to the next speaker, I'm just going to make a bit of an announcement. Over to my left, your right, you'll find a table over there, I think set up by the Canada-Palestine Network. They're selling fair trade olive oil produced in the occupied territories. There's not really much of an economy that can take place in a place that's under occupation like this, so it's really, really important to support projects like this. So you can buy your Zaytuna olive oil at that table if you're interested. So next up, we have a guest who's come here from Toronto. He's in the city for a couple of days. He's a member of the Campaign to Stop Secret Trials in Canada, and a longtime activist with Homes Not Bombs Toronto. Matthew Behrens has been a longtime anti-war and migrant rights activist, and we're very pleased to have him here today. So, Matthew Behrens.
Thank you. It's really good to be here in my birthplace. I haven't been here since I was born, so it's really good to be back. The last time I was here, Martin Luther King was still alive, which tells you how long I've been away from Halifax. And one of the last things that Martin Luther King said was that a nation which continually spends more money on the military at the expense of social programs is rapidly approaching spiritual death. And in this country... And in this country, a report was released just last week which revealed that Canada is currently spending more money on war than it has at any time since the end of the Second World War. The current figures are over $18 billion. So we are currently spending over 1,000% more on killing people and blowing up homes overseas than we are on addressing what the UN envoy to Canada last week called a crisis of homelessness, with 300,000 people who are homeless, 5 million people one paycheck away from the street. We need housing, we need daycare, we need environmental cleanup, we do not need more bombs, and we do not need more overseas intervention. The other campaign that was mentioned here is the campaign to stop secret trials, and some of you are familiar with the fact that there are 5 Muslim men and their families in this country who have been unjustly targeted by CSIS under something called a security certificate. A security certificate is a means by which the Canadian government can throw you in jail without charge indefinitely on secret evidence which neither you nor your lawyers are allowed to see. Some of the men have been held for as long as 7 years in this situation. Only recently they've been transferred to the most severe house arrest conditions we have ever seen in the history of this country. And 4 of the men are under house arrest now, and 1, Hassan Almry, is currently in the most expensive solitary confinement cell in this country, $3.5 million facility known as Guantanamo North in Kingston, Ontario, where he has 23 guards to protect him. But the thing is, what threat does Hassan pose? Hassan has spent 4.5 years in a solitary confinement cell in Toronto and is currently in solitary confinement in Kingston, and to this day we still do not know why. In February of this year, the Supreme Court of Canada struck security certificates as unconstitutional because they said it denies you the right to know the case against you. Last Monday, the Harper government reintroduced security certificates with a little bit of fancy window dressing, but still preventing the individual who is detained from knowing why they are being held. As if this is not enough to add insult to injury, all 5 men are currently fighting deportation to torture. Hassan Almry is fighting being deported back to Syria, where the fate that awaits him is far worse than what awaited Maher Arar. The other men are fighting deportation to Egypt, Algeria, and Morocco, where even the Canadian government admits they will be tortured if not killed, and yet they are still trying to have them deported to torture. A lot of people have said, well, it's just 5 men, and we don't have to worry about it because we're Canadian citizens. Well, one of the Canadian citizens by the name of Abdullah Al-Malki, Ahmed Al-Mati, and Mouyad Nouradine, who were tortured in Syria, who were tortured in Egypt with the complicity of the Canadian government. We understood from the Arar inquiry that these men, while they were being tortured, the Canadian government, through the Foreign Affairs, through CSIS and the RCMP, was sending questions to the torturers of these Canadian citizens. There's currently an inquiry going on in Ottawa about this, but it is a secret inquiry. The men who are the focus of this inquiry are not allowed to know the circumstances of why they were being tortured with Canadian government complicity. Finally, some of you have received this. If not, let me know and I'll give you one of these flyers. This is the case of Benamar Banata, an Algerian refugee who was turned over to the United States on September the 12th, 2001, with 2 sentences. The man is a Muslim and he knows how to fly airplanes. As a result of that, Mr. Banata spent the following 5 years being tortured and held incommunicado, literally, in the United States. It's only recently that he's come back. He's calling for a public inquiry into his case. These are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Canada's refugee system, in which we deport between 10 and 15,000 children, women, and men who have come here seeking refuge, but because our system is broken, because there's no appeal division, because there is no justice for migrants in this country, they are sent back to where they came from. And so tomorrow at Dalhousie, at the Student Union. Please join us between 1 and 5. We're going to spend the afternoon discussing the national security state in this country and discussing what it is that we can do about it. And ultimately, we are going to discuss how we can move from a sense of outrage and a sense of anger to actual nonviolent resistance to a system which is so filthy and so rotten that it would treat people that way. I'd like to leave you with the words of Dorothy Day, a Catholic worker. Some of you might know her. And she once said, "If they come for the innocents without first stepping over our bodies, then a curse on our religion and a curse on our lives." And when we go home tonight and we ask ourselves about our religion, about what we believe in, I think we have to ask ourselves, looking at what's going on in Afghanistan, looking at what's going on in the war at home, what are we willing to do with our belief systems and with our bodies to nonviolently resist this agenda? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matthew. So next up we have the MP, Member of Parliament for Halifax, Lexa McDonald, also the Foreign Affairs Critic for the New Democratic Party.
Well, I want to say, first of all, how honored I am to be given the opportunity to say a few words following the three superb speakers who brought very powerful messages with which I identify every word of the messages given by Matthew Behrens. I didn't know you were from Halifax, Matthew, but welcome back. I was very glad that Heidi spoke about the extent to which the Canadian government constantly invokes women, protecting women, advancing the interests and the status of women is the reason why we continue to be part of the combat mission in Kandahar. I think we need to remind ourselves that as we gather here in this square today, Malala Joya is in Vancouver speaking about the status of women in Afghanistan. This is a woman who was elected to the parliament in Afghanistan, one of the few who was actually elected by her grassroots democratic process. And for speaking out about actions of the Karzai government, the corruption, the collusion, the many things that are simply not acceptable in anything that remotely could be described as democratic, she was literally evicted from the parliament, even though she had been elected. So much for the democracy that we are helping to uphold in Afghanistan. Malala Joya came to Canada with this message 2 years ago. She has been harassed in her home country ever since, and yet she continues to have the courage to speak out, to stand up, and to come back to Canada and continue to share the truth about what's really happening to women and children in Afghanistan today in the name of democracy promotion a la George Bush. I want to say something very briefly about how frightening it is becoming for all of us that free speech and peaceful protest and nonviolent conscientious objection is becoming quashed, is becoming demonized here in Canada. I spent several hours at the Ottawa airport the day before yesterday awaiting the arrival of retired Colonel Anne Wright from Washington. She had been invited by six parliamentarians, my colleagues in the House of Commons, to come to Parliament and speak with us about her and her sisters and brothers' nonviolent protests against the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. We know that a fundamental element of a democracy is the opportunity to state our protest. I was at the United Nations 2 weeks ago where there was a fabulous exhibit of some of the world's greatest heroes because of their peaceful protest and their conscientious objection and their non-violent actions in opposition to unjust regimes, unjust wars, and unjust laws. Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, actually two people that have been made honorary citizens of Canada, the Dalai Lama, and I'm blanking here for just one moment. Nelson Mandela, thank you. It comes with the gray hair occasionally. There was a tiny word of encouragement in what was otherwise an appalling speech from the throne last week, and that was that Aung San Suu Kyi was going to be made an honorary citizen of Canada for her courageous efforts to speak out against the horrifying injustices in Burma. And yet on Thursday, when retired Colonel Anne Wright came into the Ottawa airport, she was detained by immigration officials. She was not permitted to make any contact. When I got her on her cell phone, she was immediately ordered to shut it down. The officials misinformed her that they had advised us that she had arrived safely. They did not do so. In fact, they said they were not permitted for privacy reasons to share that information. And they sent her back to Washington. Why? Let me tell you what Stockwell Day's explanation for why was. He actually gave an explanation in advance, and here it is, folks. I asked for assurance that retired Colonel Anne Wright would be allowed into Canada when she accepted our invitation, and we explained why she was coming, and we wrote the Prime Minister, we wrote the Foreign Affairs Minister, and we wrote the Public Security Minister, so-called Public Safety Minister, to explain all of that. And when I asked for that assurance in the House of Commons 3 days ago, here's what Stockwell Day said. In the exercise of our sovereign rights, we have very distinct guidelines on who may come into the country and who may not. We exercise those vigorously for the protection and for the interests of Canada. We will continue to do so. How is it in the interests of Canadians? How is it for the protection of Canadians not to permit peaceful protest, conscientious objection, and non-violent civil disobedience? Friends, we are privileged to live in this city. We are privileged to have a police force and a police chief who understands that that is a basic democratic right and respect the fact that we are here today to do exactly that. But just as we are comforted by that, we should be deeply, deeply worried that we have a government in Ottawa today that is prepared to invoke an FBI watch list as the basis for not letting guests invited by parliamentarians or any other law-abiding Canadian to come and talk to us about their experience in protesting against the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. So friends, we are here for a very important reason. It is to reinforce and strengthen the crescendo of our call to bring our troops out of Kandahar, out of that combat mission, not because they're wimps, not because they aren't brave soldiers, but because we need to get on with providing leadership in a comprehensive, robust peace-building process. This war is not going to end until we do that, and the sooner we get started doing that, the better. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Alexa.
So just before we get started here, it's fitting that Alexa just mentioned the visit of Malalai Joya to Victoria. We actually have plans to bring her here to Halifax in early November, so we hope you'll all come out when she is here. She's a very inspiring speaker. I spoke with her on the phone last night, felt that it might be important for to record some sort of statement for today's rally, so that's what I'm going to do. I actually asked her first about her suspension, about really what her life's been like since she's been suspended from Parliament. I believe she was kicked out of the Afghanistan Loya Jirga because she, in a TV interview, she referred to the Wirlesa Jirga as a stable or zoo. Other parliamentarians use that as a basis to kick her out from the government, and she's really faced personal danger since that time, and certainly as beforehand. So just going to play a quick clip from the interview last night.
Many times they insulted me in Parliament since the start, and even they threatened to rape and they beat it, and also every time I want to talk they didn't let me to talk, and like this they said to death. And but why I said this is more worse than animal killer, for example, I need to see some examples that not only the crimes and the past they did, still they are doing with the mask of democracy like this. For example, this act of Parliament is completely an illegal act, anti-freedom of speech. And they want to take me to the court. It's also important which kind of court, that there is no justice. And I challenge them, I will face to the court, but not to this kind of court, to a neutral court, fair court, to be international observers and human rights defenders. And also they threatened to death when she said, I will sit down with myself, I will eliminate her if she will not be silent. More threats I received, for example, today I have to change houses and I can't be in one house, like in the past, and now even in some houses, children also must not know I'm in the house and have to have bodyguards. And more rescue means more than before. And now I want to go back to Parliament. It's also too much risky because, you know, they understand I will never have compromise and I expose their mask in their own house. But I want to go there just to struggle in their own house and expose their mask like this.
So I asked her another quick question, which is that one, about her thoughts on the recent Environics poll in Afghanistan conducted by a Canadian firm, which found support amongst Afghanistan for what foreign troops are doing.
First of all, I want to tell you that it's a question that who did this survey? It's not independent, you know. On the other hand, today people are living under the shadow of these warlords, drug lords, and criminals. So, on one hand, these Northern Alliance, and on the other hand, Taliban, both enemies, terrorists. One is pro-US terrorists, these Northern Alliance, one is anti-US terrorists, Taliban. And our people are like sandwich. So, they are saying, when they ask questions just for no and yes, it's not the answer. People are saying about the foreign troops that they, for example, Canada have troops and also some European countries who have troops in Afghanistan. And the only hope of our people is this, that they give them helping hand and to do not follow the policy of the U.S. and act independently. And also we want liberation, we don't want occupation. Our history shows that our people do not accept occupation, and we have a long history of the opposing of foreign invasion like this. And also people are afraid, you know, now from this situation. For example, if the foreign troops go out from Afghanistan, civil war will start. If the foreign troops will be in Afghanistan, follow the strong policy of the U.S., another 11th September will happen in the fall.
So, yeah, I just wanted to play those statements just to make it clear to everybody that what we're doing here is not something that is going to be ignored by the rest of Canada or the rest of the world. Malalai Joya has faced 3 assassination attempts on her life and still faces, as she mentioned, the same dangers today. Under the government that is supported wholeheartedly by the NATO force, we have a number of warlords who were really conducted a number of human rights abuses during the Civil War period. Human Rights Watch has estimated that 60% of Afghan parliamentarians are implicated in human rights abuses. So our role here today is to really criticize our own presence within Afghanistan, to really demand a troop removal from the southern region, which Malalai has even stated is not really contributing at all to stability in Afghanistan, and also to lend solidarity to efforts to people like Malalai Joya. That's why we're bringing here to Afghanistan in 2 weeks, and we hope that you'll all come out and support her. So, I think we're going to get started here. Who's up for marching? All right. So we got a ton of placards over there. If people want to go and grab a sign, a banner over there on my right, your left, we'll get started. We're gonna be heading down Spring Garden, and we'll end up at Parade Square, just in front of City Hall.
I'll take this. I'm gonna go get my card.
Oh, okay. There's the board.